Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Francis, welcome back to Life Study.
Thank you for inviting me back. I enjoy being here.
We use this term, church life, very often on this program. For the sake of our listeners who may not be that familiar with it, would you define what we mean by the word or term church life?
Well, I believe we've learned a lot fresh terms to describe things in the Bible in this ministry, and this term church life is one of them. I would like to say that this is not just a going to church life. Most people have the concept, when you mention church, that it's a building on the corner or it's an organization of people who come together to hear about God or to carry on some Christian work. But the term church life describes the kind of living Christians should have locally to express the universal body of Christ. The term indicates that Christ is our life and the church is our living, a living in fellowship with other believers in our locality to express the oneness of the body of Christ. Though the term church life, I don't believe it is used in the New Testament. The fact is there, and it can be seen in passages like Acts chapter 2 at the beginning of the church after Pentecost, and also described in Romans chapter 12, and even in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are urged also in this epistle of Hebrews to practice this kind of life and not to abandon it or to neglect it, for such a corporate living is really God's intention, that we might really be in oneness. So we're urged rather to practice this kind of church life more and more as we see the day approaching. So I believe, Chris, this term church life is very practical for our daily living.
It certainly is, and we have seen so much of God's purpose is related to this matter, not just of the church, but its practical working out daily in the church life. Now let's join Witness Lee with today's life study from Hebrews.
Now, we come to message with the practical virtues. I like this term, practical and virtues. For the church life. Altogether, beside the experiences of Christ, there are 10 practical virtues covered in this one chapter for the church life. I think we don't need to go too deep into all the things, in the sense these are not the deep things, but quite practical. So I just nearly refer to you, it may be good enough. Number one, brother love. It's really good. No one would argue that brother love is surely for the church life. If it is not for the church life, we don't need brother love. You'll be away from me, and I'll be away from you. We don't need to love one with another. Just because we are flock together. I use this word. You know, we are flock together. To be flock together, there is the need to love one another. So brother love is needed. Love is the greatest. Never forget this. Love, faith, and hope. Love is the greatest. And love is the most excellent way. The way of gift is not the most excellent. The way of teaching, neither. But the way of love is the most excellent way, because love is the expression of life. Love is just another form appearing to us that is of life. Eventually, why brother love is needed? because it builds up. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. I'm so happy Paul was so wise to give us the second practical virtue. That is hospitality. Oh, we need firstly the brother love, and secondly the hospitality. This is marvelous. It's wonderful. This is love. This is love. The hospitality edifies a lot. This conveys much new blood into the fellowship of the body. How we have to thank the Lord for this. So what? So the Bible says we have to pursue hospitality.
Francis, two points here, very practical and necessary for us if we are going to have not just a church, but a church life. We really need brotherly love and hospitality, don't we?
We certainly do. These are two aspects of our practical living that are so very necessary for experiencing the church life today.
Francis, what is the practical application for us today in the body of Christ of this matter of hospitality as it's expressed in the New Testament?
Well, hospitality, just to use that term, makes me think of having people in your home, being together with others, having fellowship, and maybe even staying together for a period of time. All of this is very practical for the church life, because many times Christians like to get together, even from different cities, from different localities, and especially for special times like of conference, when numbers of people come to a certain locality. If there's hospitality provided for them there, not just to go find yourself a hotel, but an invitation into a home of fellow believers, this really does a lot to build up the body of Christ. The first thing Paul said when he got to the practical church life in Hebrews was, let brotherly love continue. And immediately following that, he says, do not forget hospitality. Hospitality is a practice of coming together, like I mentioned, in the homes, having our home open, and our whole being enjoying the company of others with a like purpose and a like desire to glorify God, to live the church life, to express the oneness of the body of Christ.
You know, Francis, it's interesting you mentioned Paul's encouraging word there on this matter of hospitality. This seems to be a practice that on a large scale has been, for the most part, lost or given up amongst believers. But I believe we're hearing that this can and should be practiced today among fellow believers.
Yes, I do believe it can, would, should, and is. This is a practice among believers who have realized and have seen what the church life really is, that it involves a kind of communal living, but not in the sense of the hippie days, but in a pure sense where we really have the kind of living that includes other members of the body of Christ. When we can come together, we can enjoy the fellowship together and keep everything in a very pure, honorable way of testimony. So hospitality is quite important and should not be forgotten, should not be abandoned.
Francis, it has a very satisfying kind of ring to it. I think all the believers, as we fellowship this way, have an echo to this within. Let's go back to more of our fellowship from Witness Lee.
Then, remembering the suffering members. This is no doubt for church life. We have to remember the suffering members. This means we are living in a body, and we are having the sensation, the sins of the body. When member suffers, all the members sense it. This is the body life. So to remember the suffering ones is a function in the body. Number four, holding marriage in honor. Apparently, this doesn't have any relation with the church life. But you have to know the matter of marriage is a big, big factor of the church life. Whether the church life will be sound, healthy, or it will lose its element, essence, I would say over two-thirds the church life depends upon the marriage life. So here the word says we have to hold marriage in honor. Don't consider the matter of marriage a light thing. It is not a light matter. We must hold it in honor. This means what? This means we have to possess our body in sanctification and honor. We will never misuse our vessel. Never misuse our body. We have to possess it in sanctification and in honor. Honor our own marriage, honor others' marriage. Altogether, we honor marriage. And to honor marriage means what? Means to possess your body in sanctification and honor, and to rid and to free any kinds of filthy fornication. Five, without love of money. Surely, a money lover must be another Judas. How could a money lover have the church life? It's impossible. All money lovers are betrayers. They just betray the church life. Money lovers betray the Lord and betray his testimony and betray the church life. No possibility for the money lovers to leave the church life. We have to be satisfied with the circumstances. Whatever we have, whatever we are in, we have to be satisfied, knowing that we have the Lord. So we have to trust in the Lord for the living. You'll be assured. Never worry about your living. Our God is our Father. He knows all what we need.
Francis, I want to stop here because the two points that Witness Lee has just touched, marriage and the love of money, are too crucial. Before I ask you for your comments, let's insert a very brief word by Witness Lee as he revisits this matter of the birthright as a reward, and then we'll ask you to connect all of this for our listeners.
Still, we need one point, and that is, what is to have proper human life with the proper humanity? You know, God's original intention eventually became our birthright, and our birthright will become the reward. We all have to see God's original intention is to have a corporate man to represent him with his dominion and to express him with his image and to take possession of the whole earth. I tell you, just this is the proper human living. But man got fallen from this. So God came in to do something to redeem us and to save us and even to regenerate us. And this is God's salvation. In God's salvation, there is the birthright, the birthright of the new birth. And the birthright is for us, number one, to be the priest, to express God with his image, and to represent God with his dominion. And one day will come, surely we, the sons of God, will take the full possession of this lost earth for God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
This is the birthright within God's salvation. If we would live in this birthright, we will live this birthright that surely, spontaneously, will be just the reality of the kingdom of God. Amen. The reality of the kingdom is just the living of the birthright. The reality of the kingdom is just the realization of the full birthright. But not all Christians would cooperate with God in this matter. So God's wisdom right away made a decision to make the birthright a reward. In other words, God made the reality of the kingdom a reward in the manifestation of the kingdom. Okay, if we would take the grace, getting into the Holy of Holies, cooperating with God, surely we will live the birthright. And what we will live out will be a reward to us.
Francis, if there are any areas where we as believers are vulnerable to the enemy's attack, with the most serious consequences as it relates to the birthright, they are no doubt the proper marriage relationship and the proper attitude and concern for money and riches. Do you agree with this?
I think there'd be no way to disagree. Certainly, I agree with this wholeheartedly. These are two dangerous points that threaten the testimony of believers as the body of Christ. So we do need to take this matter very seriously and realize the dangers and the serious consequences of violating God's principle in these matters.
Francis, in the years that many of us were given by the Lord to be under this ministry, one thing was very clear. Witness Lee was not simply a man that just spoke the ministry. His life and his living were a vivid expression and manifestation of the ministry. He was a minister. We have a marvelous biographical glimpse here that we want to present, and it's in line with what we're talking about today, particularly in the realm of money. This is especially inspiring. I'd like to ask all of the young people listening particularly, pay attention, listen to this. Here's Witness Lee.
The day when I was forced to give up my job for his ministry, it was 1933 in August. I was struggling with the Lord for about 3 weeks. After a prayer meeting, I went to the Lord at midnight. Before that time, I got the word from the Lord in Matthew 6 that our Father knows what we need. If we would seek after His kingdom and His righteousness, He will not only give us the kingdom and the righteousness, but also He will add to us whatever we need for our daily life. I got that promise before August 23rd, 1933. But that night I went to the Lord to make a thorough deal whether it was of He that I should give up my job for full-time ministry. When I went to Him, the Lord didn't give me the time to pray. The Lord just rebuked me. I have given you the word from Matthew 6. If you believe it, you take it. If you don't believe, that's all. I couldn't say that night I saw the Lord, but the sensation was this. When the Lord said this, He left me. He just left me. The presence of the Lord was gone. I have given you the word in Matthew 6. If you take it, you take it. If you don't, that's all. So I couldn't pray any further. I even couldn't say in the name of the Lord, amen. I couldn't say all that. I just couldn't say, and the tears came down. Then I said, I was kneeling there. I said, Lord, okay, I take your word. I take your word. To make the story short, from that day up to today, listen to this, over 42 years, of 42 years, throughout such a lifelong time, I have never been short of anything. I have never been short of anything. The Lord knows our need. He is our Father. For the church life, you just may have the peace to sacrifice everything for the Lord. You don't need to worry about your living. As long as you enter into the veil and go outside the camp, I tell you, whatever you need, He takes care. Amen. You do have the promises here even. He is our helper. He will never forsake us. He will take care of us. So, young brothers and young sisters, you just live in the Holy of Holies. You just do your duty. That's all. Your life is in Him. And your living is in His hand. You don't need to worry. Praise Him. Amen. He's living. Amen. And He's real. Amen. All the ministers of the Word of God should have a life trusting in the Lord for everything. And this will give an example to all the believers. For the believers to remember the manner of life, and rather to remember the issue of the manner of life. Not just the manner of life, but the issue, the result of their manner of life. Then what? Then the believers will imitate their faith. What faith? Faith in God for their daily living. Faith in God for their daily living. The ministers of God live such a life with such a manner. And this will effect, will influence the believers to imitate their faith in God.
Well, Francis, I think this word really says it all. I'd just like to ask you if you want to add your own word of testimony.
Well, I really appreciate what Brother Lee has said in the way of testimony about his own experience of trusting the Lord and living purely before the Lord. No doubt he had some very searching experiences when he first was beginning to serve the Lord. And my experiences along this line came more in line with finding out what it means to have the practice of the body life and the church life. And my heart was very much touched, and as I searched the scriptures, I saw the reality. And I purposed in my heart to live this kind of life and to come the way of practicing the oneness of the body in the church life as best I could. And I was in a circumstance that was almost impossible to follow my inclinations. But by the Lord's grace and mercy, He did call me to come this way. And at one time, He provided such financial support that I was able to come this way. And as I left, I realized the Lord speaking to me. And He told me, if you don't go now, you will never go. And I realized those were very serious words, and I must take heed. So that very day, I left and I came. And following that, I've had many experiences of the Lord providing every need along the way. He has never failed to meet every situation, not in the abundance that people might expect, but in an abundance according to His grace. And all the time I've enjoyed not just the supply of material things, I certainly have been well taken care of by the Lord's mercy, and yet have been made always to rely on Him, to trust in Him every step of the way. I certainly appreciate our brother Lee's testimony and for taking the way that he took that has been such a benefit and an example to all of us who have been in the light of this ministry.
Francis, I'd like to thank you for your word of testimony. You know, it's interesting, as we concluded the life study of Romans, at the end of Romans, there's a portion devoted there very specifically to this practical church life that the Apostle Paul was addressing. And now at the end of Hebrews, once again, this practical church life is the main burden of this portion of the book. There must be a message here to us as believers today. God is after a recovery of this kind of living, isn't he?
I do believe very much so, especially in these last days. At the last of that book, Romans, you mentioned, at the last of Hebrews, and at the beginning of Acts, we see a church life that God wants to recover. So I feel like we are really on the threshold of seeing everything come up to the standard that God needs for Christ to come back.
Amen. Francis, thank you for your help today.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.